Now in life, people, families, places, and organizations, you know, they all go through some type of growing pain. So businesses, you know, they usually start small. And then as they grow, you know, more people have to be hired. And then, you know, leaders have to be developed, and then additional policies and procedures have to be created. And then family, you know, we all start single. And then, you know, we start dating, and then we get married, hopefully, and then hopefully we have kids as well. And then churches, you know, you get new people. You get new cultures, new buildings, new programs, and new studies. So the main point here is that, you know, growing pains, you know, they don't go away just like leg cramps. You know, there has to be some type of process or intervention, you know, involved. You know, we all grow, and with growth, sometimes it may be painful. So how do we move through growth pains in a healthy way? Well, I think we'll find the answer here tonight in Acts chapter 6. So as we have seen here in the book of Acts so far, the numbers of believers, you know, has grown pretty rapidly, but not smoothly. You know, there has been some growing pains. You know, the apostles being mocked in Acts chapter 2, the apostles told not to speak about Jesus in Acts chapter 4, and then the apostles being arrested in chapter 4 and again in chapter 5. So, and then, you know, deception and hypocrisy was brought into the community by Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5 as well. So now in chapter 6, another issue has risen that has the potential to hinder the growth in the believers. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 7. In verse 1, it's going to show us what the problem is. Scripture says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." What we got here is, you know, two groups of people in two different cultures. We have the Grecians, other known as Hellenists, you know, in which have ties with the Roman and the Greek culture, and spoke primarily the Greek language. So then we have the Hebrews, in which are from Judea and are of the Jewish culture, both group being Jewish and both being followers of Jesus. Amen. So what is the problem, right? We see that the Hellenists, you know, they're complaining to the apostles that their widows are missing out on the daily ministration. The daily ministration meaning the distribution of food or of goods. You know, they feel that their widows are being neglected or not getting the attention that others are being given. So what we must understand is that, you know, problems are normal in the church. You know, anytime you get people together, there are going to be disputes. You know, more people equals more problems. So what is the solution? You know, how are the apostles going to respond to this dispute? Well, we'll read it here in verses 2 through 4. Then the 12, you know, the 12 meaning the 12 apostles, you know, called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out," meaning to choose, select, or to look for somebody, "you know, among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So what the apostles said here in verses 2 through 4 is what they believe will fix this dispute. You know, they decided that it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You know, they believed it was more important for them to remain faithful to their calling in in which was, you know, prayer and ministry of the word. No, but what they proposed, that the disciples look amongst themselves and appoint, you know, seven men of honest report, you know, men of good reputation, seven men that are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that will oversee this business. Seven men who will oversee the works of the church community, men of character, men that are spiritually and practically minded. Amen. Their attitude wasn't about, you know, that they were above this type of work and that this work was kind of beneath them. You know, that wasn't their attitude at all. You know, the apostles, you know, they had a focus. And they were given a direct mission from Jesus, in which we discussed in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. No, they were to be witnesses unto Jesus both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That was their job. That was their mission. So if the apostles were to get involved and stay involved with the daily details or the daily problems, then that would put them at risk of not working, you know, on the mission of Acts chapter 1. So they opened opportunities for others to step into and take responsibility. So who did the disciples choose? Who were these seven men? Well, let's read about them there in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, who they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Do y'all know what, you know, all these names have in common? You know, they're all Greek. They all have Grecian names. Who were the people that had the complaint? It was the Hellenists, the Grecians. So what better sense to put the men in charge of this problem that have a Hellenistic background to solve the problem, right? What else did they have in common? You know, they were men of good reputation. You know, they were men of character, men that were spiritually and practically minded. They were the men that the apostles told the disciples to bring forward. So Scripture doesn't have much to say about all these men, but we do know that they are the leaders the apostles want to appoint. So how do we know that? So as you see in verses 6 through 7, the apostles, they laid hands on them. The laying of hands was a symbol of ordaining the men. You know, this was the apostles giving them authority, you know, in the church. So listen to this. You know, obstacles in the church, you know, obstacles aren't just an opportunity for leaders to lead, but they're also an opportunity for the church to engage. Now, so what we have here, the apostles, the leaders, you know, they made a decision and put forward a proposal, as we saw in verse 3. So the church, the disciples, you know, they hear this proposal and then they engage. They step forward, they follow the direction as we saw in verse 5. So as churches or companies or even families, you know, as they grow, leadership must grow. So the key point of this is, you know, delegating tasks creates followers. Amen. Delegating authority creates leaders. That's exactly what the apostles wanted. You know, they wanted people to take ownership and lead and solve problems while they could focus on the main mission, which was prayer and daily ministry of the word. So as you see in verse 7, the plan worked. You know, the word God increased, the disciples multiplied, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, like I said, it's straight to the point. So to wrap up tonight, you know, I have three questions, you know, I'd like for all of us to think about. You know, as our church has been growing, you know, what problems have we encountered that haven't been attended to? You know, what's hindering our growth? Are you going to be part of the, number two, are you going to be part of the problem or are you going to be part of the solution? And then number three, how are you able to help? And are you satisfied with the part you play?
Amen.
So that's all I got, Brother Grant.